Hello to everyone listening. Welcome to My Horse Heart. Today, I have an old friend joining me. His name is Ned Buhalasa. He's been part of my life for as long as I can remember. And in introducing music to me and having great times and dinners and great chats. And I'm so grateful that he's here with us to share his heart with us today. Welcome, Ned.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a 55-year-old artist living in Montreal, and I've been in Montreal since I was a tiny child. I was originally born in France. My parents moved when I was 4 and a half, and I fell in love with music fairly early and have surrounded myself with it ever since I can remember, basically.
And what did you do with that love of music?
So I first started basically using it as a way to escape, you know, I think. And then I think I felt that I resonated with music pretty early on. So there were times I can remember as a child where it was kind of like a plush toy, you know, kind of like a teddy bear or something, or a favorite blanket. Like that would be a guitar or some other instrument that I would keep by, and I would just whittle away at, play, noodle with while doing everything, you know, watching TV or, you know, whatever, listening to the radio. So that started like that, but then I got into playing with bands as a teenager because, you know, that was the thing to do. And so for a short time when I was a teenager, I thought I was going to be a rock star. That was my dream, was to go to New York City and be a rock star. And luckily, I did not do that. And instead, I did a bunch of odd jobs. But quickly, I decided to go back to university and study music and maybe do something with that. And, you know, all these years later, I find that it was a good move. Because through university, I was introduced to composition, which was very different from being in a band or from just noodling around on an instrument while watching a hockey game. This was more serious, but it introduced me to a whole world of different music as well. I think that sometimes when before you go to school, you have an idea of what something is, but by going to a university or a college or a school, you get all these different points of views and you get all these different tastes that you may not have found on your street in your suburban, you know, neighborhood where everybody listens to the same music. So that was a real eye opener. And my love of music as a child led me to have a long career in music.
So what was it like being in the university environment, studying music so extensively? Was that challenging for you, uplifting, inspiring?
I would say that on the whole, it was inspiring. And I will also say that I think like many people who are my age, I wish I would have done more with my time there, especially in terms of networking. Mm. And I don't mean that only as a way to further a career, but also as a way to have an even wider circle of people who share your common crazy, you know, taste, right?
Okay. And so since university, what are you doing with music in your life now?
Right. So from university, I had basically two choices, which was either when I graduated university, when I did my undergraduate, university, I had two choices. Basically, it was either to further my studies and teach or to drive a cab, something like that. A lot of musicians do these kinds of jobs, drive cabs, wait on tables. So I decided that I was going to do neither of those two. One of my students happened to be quite bright, but we were also quite close in age, because when I used to teach, which is what I did, by the way, coming out of university, I did teaching, tried to do a master's. So I did start that down that route of being a teacher. And one of my students ended up being one of my best, very dear best friends. We started a business together, and that was that. That was 1993, I believe, that we started. And now 25 years later, I'm still doing it, which is basically writing music for television. And I've also written for cinema, but it's more for television. My friend, on the other hand, didn't last more than a year. He went on to do something else, but I stuck with it.
That's very impressive to me, to stick with something that's your passion, that is really challenging to actually make a living and a career out of for many. So the fact that you're doing that is wonderful.
Yeah, when I think about your blog, and when I think particularly about this interview series about following your heart, I think for me, certainly, that this really, really rings true, really resonates, and I really identify with your own challenges and determination. Because certainly when you tell people, when you're, you know, a young person and you tell people that you want to have a career in music, today, just as it was 30 years ago, just as it probably was 60 years ago or 100 years ago, the first thing that people say is, how will you make a living? Mm-hmm. And I used to get that question when I would answer, what do you do? Until I reached probably the age of 40 or 42. So, or 43, 44. It took a long time before people would stop saying, but what's your job? Or, but how do you make money? Or, wow, how do you survive? And so, well, I understand where that comes from, because it's true that the majority of people who go into the arts struggle and do not make a good living and oftentimes have to give up their dreams. It's true that the great majority do, but I think that it's a wonderful, loving gesture to not use these statistics when you're talking to someone and they tell you what they love to do. Just say
that's a good life tip.
You're gonna be one of those that makes it.
Yeah.
So there were moments, for example, when I was starting my career, where good friends would ask me what's going on, and I would explain, and they would say, you know, I think you should get another job at the same time. And I never did.
Wow.
No, that's not true. I did have one. I did have one short office job. I did have one. But ultimately, I followed the advice of some composers that I would read about, media composers. And basically, the best advice I read was, if you really want to make a career of it, if you really want to be successful in whatever it is that you do, you have to give it 100, 150% of your time. You can't be doing something else. You can try, but it's really going to be that much harder. And the chances are that you will drop your artistic pursuit because it's very difficult, and you have something else going at the same time.
Yeah. I see that with other people I've interviewed. Yes. And with friends of mine who are also in the creative arts, and even for myself in a horse career, although being a farrier isn't, you know, necessarily lumped into that all the time, but it is challenging, anything horse related, to make a living. And I couldn't agree more that to make it work, you have to give it 150%. And thank goodness we are part of the lucky few.
Yes.
That get to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My mother gave me the best advice ever when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And it was one night when she was putting me to bed, and she said to me, find what you love and do that as a career. She didn't use the word career. She probably used that as your profession. Because you're probably going to do it. That's the thing you're going to do most in your life. It's going to occupy the most amount of hours of your time. And if you don't really love what you do, then you're going to be an unhappy person. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. That was like, my mother gave me just a few lessons, but that was one I never forgot. Never forgot. And I whenever I meet young people, and by that I mean, below the age of 20, who haven't yet committed, I always ask them what it is that they love. What do you love to do, or even people who are struggling, maybe a little later on, between between the ages of 20 and 30. And I'd say to them, okay, look, let's say that I'm very rich and I gave you $75 million. And I said, now you're on your way. So now you go around the world, you have a great time for a year, whatever, 2 years, whatever, you party, casino, whatever. Okay, you're done with all that. Now what are you going to do? You still have $50 million. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do next week? Whatever it is that you would do if you didn't have to work, make that your job. Not even a job. Make that your profession, your career. Yeah. Because you will maybe not make a lot of money. Maybe you won't become famous. But you'll be happy. Because every day you'll be doing what you love. And if I can just throw in a little parenthesis of another example of that. Recently, I was in Portugal, and I was hosted. We had supper at people's home. The husband is a fisherman, and more precisely, he sells the fish. He's a fish salesman. I don't know what it is. Anyways, my point is that this is a person who went to university and studied economics. And was doing gangbusters, had great grades. And at the end, when he was about to move on to the next stage, so maybe get the final degree or get into postgraduate work, he faced his teachers and he said, I quit. I don't want to be an economics professor or a specialist making tons of money. I want to sell fish. I love fish. And so here he is. Now, he has been very successful. Selling fish. But I certainly don't think that he has had the kind of career that he would have if he had gone on to be, you know, a world-class economist. I mean, I can only imagine how much money these people make. But he loves fish and he loves his job. So, in my opinion, he's already successful whether or not he's made a lot of money or whatever.
Oh, what a great example. Yeah. And I love how you pose that question to take, you know, all the stresses of life away. What would that thing be? And I'm not too Pollyanna to think that everyone is always able to do that or accomplish it. But if we don't try and make that our focus, then I think we're really missing out on some opportunities. So that's so great. Yeah. What qualities do you see are necessary for people to have that, just to find the passion and then to actually stick with it and follow? What qualities make up a horse-hearted life?
I think that you need someone who believes in you early on. Someone who says something to you. It can be a teacher, it can be a parent. So I think you need that. And it certainly helps if you've had a lot of love and attention or a lot of love from at least one person. That could be an aunt, it could be a grandparent, it could be both your parents, your siblings, what have you. But I think you need to have that so that you can have that belief in yourself. Because here's the issue, right? The issue is when you start out in any career, unless you're really fortunate, you're going to have some periods of very rough patches where the phone's not going to ring and you're going to wonder, maybe it's me. You know, maybe the problem is not the career I've chosen. It's that something's wrong with me. Nobody's giving me any work. And that's the moment where you need those whispering words, that love that was given to you, that makes you think, in the end, I'm okay, I'm worth it, yes, I'm strong, or yes, I do have talent in this, I do. And I believe in myself, which is the ultimate thing. I believe in myself. And that will get you through the rough patches. But I think that it's very hard to do that if no one has ever said that to you. If no one has ever given you love, which ultimately shows that you are worth a lot, someone's taking time out of their life to give you love. So you must be worth a lot more than a piece of dust. And that is the seed from which can grow a great career, a great life. But you need that seed.
And for those who haven't been gifted with that seed, any wisdom?
I think you can still be inspired by reading and watching videos and movies about people who have done it. Mm-hmm. and even more so in your field. Read books, read autobiographies. You may find that some people or even just one individual that you really like actually had a similar situation when they were young. Because I did want to say that I have read or heard about people who have had a very successful career, but who didn't were not very well loved, who were not told that they were good, and they still went on to have a good career. That said, some of them killed themselves early. Richard Pryor, for example. Richard Pryor, a genius of not just comedy, but of social observation. Genius. But he got into crack and he killed himself. And when you find out about his childhood, you realize why. This man was born in a brothel. He was born in situations where he was constantly being pushed away. But he had talent, such talent, that he managed to make a successful career that ended up badly, okay? But for many years, he achieved success, world famous, all everything, even though he came from such impossible situations. But I'm sure that there was one person who said something to him at some point. There's always... You know, with plants, there's always a root. You think there's no, you always find it. It's the same thing. With all success stories, there's always a seed that was planted, I think.
I like that. Ned, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. It's totally my pleasure. I love talking about the heart.
Yeah. And I, you know, in context with everything you were saying, that's partly why I'm doing these interviews, because I hope whoever is listening right now, maybe this can be a little bit of inspiration for whatever you're doing to follow your own heart out there. So thank you so much to all our listeners, and till next time on My Horse Heart.